From the bottom of that wet, rock-lined throat, a drowning face stared up at him, wide eyes, grimacing mouth. A moan escaped him. It was not loud, except in his heart. There, it had been very loud. It was his own face in the dark water, not the monkeys. For a moment, he thought it was the monkeys. He was shaking, shaking all over.
I threw it down the well. I threw it down the well. Please, God, don't let me be crazy. I threw it down the well.
The well had gone dry the summer Johnny McCabe died, the year after Bill and Hal came to stay with Uncle Will and Aunt Ida. Uncle Will had borrowed money from the bank to have an artesian well sunk, and the blackberry tangles had grown up around the old dug well. The dry well. Except, the water had come back. Like the monkey. This time, the memory would not be denied. Hal sat there, helplessly, letting it come, trying to go with it. Trying to ride it like a surfer riding a monster wave that will crush him if he falls off his board. Just trying to get through it so it would be gone again. He crept out here with the monkey late that summer, and the blackberries had been out, the smell of them thick and cloying. No one came in here to pick. Although Aunt Ida would sometimes stand at the edge of the tangles and pick a cupful of berries into her apron. In here, the blackberries had gone past ripe to overripe. Some of them were rotting, sweating a thick white fluid like pus, and the crickets sang maddeningly in the high grass underfoot, their endless cry. The thorns tore at him, brought dots of blood onto his cheeks and bare arms. He made no effort to avoid their sting. He had been blind with terror, so blind that he had come within inches of stumbling onto the rotten boards that covered the well, perhaps within inches of crashing 30 feet to the well's muddy bottom. He had pinwheeled his arms for balance, and more thorns had branded his forearms. It was that memory that had caused him to call Petey back sharply. That was the day Johnny McCabe died, his best friend. Johnny had been climbing the rungs up to his treehouse in his backyard. The two of them had spent many hours up there that summer, playing pirate, seeing make-believe galleons out on the lake, unlimbering the cannons, reefing the stunnels, whatever that was, preparing to board. Johnny had been climbing up to the treehouse, as he had done 1,000 times before, and the rung just below the trapdoor in the bottom of the treehouse had snapped off in his hands, and Johnny had fallen 30 feet to the ground and had broken his neck. And it was the monkey's fault. The monkey. The goddamn hateful monkey. When the phone rang, when Aunt Ida's mouth dropped open and then formed an O of horror as her friend Millie from down the road told her the news, when Aunt Ida said, "Come out on the porch, Hal. I have to tell you some bad news," he had thought with sick horror. The monkey. What's the monkey done now? There had been no reflection of his face trapped at the bottom of the well the day he threw the monkey down, only stone cobbles and the stink of wet mud. He had looked at the monkey lying there on the wiry grass that grew between the blackberry tangles, its symbols poised, its grinning teeth huge between its splayed lips, its fur rubbed away in balding, mangy patches here and there, its glazed eyes. "I hate you," he hissed at it. He wrapped his hand around its loathsome body, feeling the nappy fur crinkle. It grinned at him as he held it up in front of his face. "Go on," he dared it, beginning to cry for the first time that day. He shook it. The poised symbols trembled minutely. The monkey spoiled everything good. Everything. "Go on! Clap them! Clap them!" The monkey only grinned. "Go on and clap them!" His voice rose hysterically. "Fraidy cat! Fraidy cat! Go on and clap them! I dare you! I double dare you!" Its brownish yellow eyes. Its huge, gleeful teeth. He threw it down the well then, mad with grief and terror. He saw it turn over once on its way down, a simian acrobat doing a trick, and the sun glinted one last time on those symbols. It struck the bottom with a thud, and that must have jogged its clockwork, for suddenly, the symbols did begin to beat. Their steady, deliberate, and tingy banging rose to his ears, echoing and fey in the stone throat of the dead well. Chang! Hal clapped his hands over his mouth, and for a moment he could see it down there, perhaps only in the eye of imagination, lying there in the mud, eyes glaring up at the small circle of his boy's face peering over the lip of the well, as if marking that face forever, lips expanding and contracting around those grinning teeth, cymbals clapping, funny, wind-up monkey. Chang, 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 chang. Who's dead? Chang, 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 chang. Is it Johnny McCabe? Falling with his eyes wide, doing his own acrobatic somersault as he falls through the bright summer vacation air with a splintered rung still held in his hands to strike the ground with a single, bitter, snapping sound, with blood flying out of his nose and mouth and wide eyes? Is it Johnny, Hal? Or is it you?